Pakistan faces an economic crisis so dire it risks default on its debt. Catastrophic floods last year submerged nearly a third of the country. Food and fuel prices soared and are now beyond the means of many people. As NPR's Dia Hadid reports, that's straining a Pakistani tradition of feeding the hungry just when it's needed the most.
A dervish with bells strapped to his chest salutes the shrine of a Sufi saint buried in the capital, Islamabad. The dervish Ghulam Muhammad says more people need to support the poor the way this shrine does. In one hall at the sprawling shrine complex, a cook dishes up greasy rice, a waitress slaps down the plates, and one woman argues that she didn't get enough. 52-year-old Salima Bibi hovers at the entrance, hoping the waitress inside will forget she's already been served once. She's holding a plastic bag in one hand. She shows it to me and my colleague, Abdul Sattar. Salima Bibi says if she's lucky, she'll fill it with free rice for her kids. She can't afford to bring them here. Bus rides are now too expensive. But she's already got a meal. She stuffed that in a different plastic bag that she's tucked under her draping headscarf. She was meant to eat it, but couldn't.
I'm a mother. How I can eat without my kids?
Salima Bibi isn't alone. A boy in tattered clothes sells plastic bags to shrine visitors precisely for this. A little girl clutches a tiny pink plastic bag with rice for leftovers. The feeding halls at this shrine rely on donations from visitors. They pay cooks in open-air stalls surrounding the shrine to prepare enormous cauldrons of food that are shipped to the halls. But as Neem saw, one cook, Bilal Khan, says they're receiving less donations. And because everything costs more, they're making less food. Khan says he used to make 20 cauldrons a day. Now he prepares barely half that number. Last year, donors often requested he cook chicken or beef stews for the poor.
This year, people don't want to even order chickpeas with their rice dishes.
Across the shrine, 13-year-old Sheba chases friends down a marble-paved courtyard. She's from a nearby crowded slum and comes here to play and to eat. Sheba and her friends say their parents can't afford to buy once-cheap staples like lentils.
We don't eat at all at home. We come here and eat.
As we chat, a security guard rushes over and smacks Sheba hard against her shoulders. Sheba scrams. The guard apologizes. Later, he tells us he thought Sheba was trying to pickpocket us. Reports of petty crime like this have been increasing as hunger spreads. And the hunger we hear about in the shrine reflects what the World Food Programme sees in its data. The organisation expects that by March, more than 5 million people will be a step away from famine levels of hunger. Chris Kay is the Pakistan Country Director.
That number is frightening. It's frightening, and particularly when you balance it against what's happening next door in Afghanistan.
What's happening in Afghanistan is that since the Taliban seized power, a humanitarian crisis has spiraled out of control and more than 6 million people there are close to famine.
So we're not far away from a food insecure situation in Pakistan to, in terms of absolute numbers, to the numbers that we're seeing in Afghanistan.
The hunger has even reached a prosperous area where the poor have long flocked to work. The textile mills on the fringes of Faisalabad, a city about 4 hours' drive from the capital. There, one charity recently opened a roadside cafeteria. It serves free meals to workers like Muhammad Imran. He sits with his back to the entrance so nobody can see him. He mops up a plate of curried goat with a piece of naan.
I came here with a heavy heart, but I have no choice.
About 6 months ago, Imran says his monthly wage of $115 stopped stretching to the end of the month. The price of wheat, oil, vegetables doubled in his village and his family cut down on food. He began sleeping at the mill after the price of bus tickets home shot up to 80 cents. It got so bad, Imran pulled his daughter out of the ninth grade. He He couldn't pay her $20 school fee.
Ji, meri beti bahut light thi, lekin ye mamlaat ki wajah se school chhodna pada.
My daughter had such a promising future. If there was any hope at all that I could pay her fees, I'd send her back. But there's no hope.
Imran says this cafeteria is full of men like him. It's run by a charity called Ceylani, which operates an industrial kitchen to meet demand. Bakers slap dough into flatbread. Butchers skin and chop up goats. They cook them in pots the size of bathtubs. Vats of prepared food are pushed into open back jeeps. Supervisors check off items, and free lunch is distributed for around 20,000 people. In his office, Administrator Irfan Malik says they're scaling up. From 26 cafeterias 2 years ago, they now have 40. And his staff expect the number of people needing food to double this year. That's one charity in one relatively prosperous city. Down the road, 45-year-old Ghulam Nabi keeps an eye on cotton looms in a one-room factory. His cheekbones protrude, his arms are bony. He's piling up debt to buy food. He owes $70 at the local shop. That's his monthly wage. But somehow Ghulam Nabi says he's managing. He says, I work. I don't need free food. For now. Dear Hadid, NPR News, Faisalabad.